This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alrighty, Bismillah. What do you have for me?
I have lots of very, very real questions.
This is real questions?
Very real questions.
So there's fake questions and real questions?
But you know, there are questions that are quite like soft. These are questions that have come from the heart.
Okay.
We've been talking about heart work,
Bismillah.
Right? Alhamdulillah. So these are questions that you know people have thought about and really want to make progress in this. And they want a genuine answer. And inshallah, they've come up so much that we know that they'll be the ones that the audience really want to hear, inshallah. First of all, how are you, Dr. Haifa?
Alhamdulillah. Enjoying it. Are you enjoying it? Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Are you glad to be back in the UK?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. We're very pleased to have you here with us in the UK, honestly. I can speak for myself. As soon as I heard, I was like, yes. I literally squealed, alhamdulillah. So I'm really, really happy that you're here with us. Alhamdulillah. May Allah protect and preserve you.
Ameen.
Now, we're going to go straight into the questions, inshallah. First question. And I'm going to read it as is, like verbatim, because it's the question that's important. I get angry really quickly. Angry at myself, loved ones, work, the government. What can I do to help fix my intentions and have a pure heart? I feel like I have a good few weeks and then I go back to my old ways.
Okay, so anger is one of the poisons of the heart. Anger. Anger comes from, what's the source of anger? Yeah, we all, you know what? We have a bucket. We throw everything in it and the bucket is cold. Shaitan. So we have no issue. It's not my fault, it's shaitan. Don't do that. You will not change. No. Anger comes from arrogance. It's not my way. They didn't listen to me. Even with the government. I was like, Yani, do you really have time to get even angry with the government? Come on. But the point is, you need to work on your ego. And ego is one of the biggest, or actually it's the first sin that was committed in the creation, not on earth, in the creation. When shaitan, you all know the story, refused to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach yourself. I may be a little bit tough in this answer because she says, this woman is really sincere. And she says, I get better and then I fail. And she is angry on many aspects, it's not one or two. Tell yourself all the time, I am but slave of Allah. I am created from earth and I'm going to go back to earth. Tell yourself all the time, when I or you in the grave, everything you are very upset about will mean nothing and will not come to my avail. Most of the time we are angry because we don't remember Allah. And this is not my statement. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts will reach serenity, peace. If my heart in peace, I'm not going to get upset. I'll give you a simple example. Just very recently, when I was in Dublin, something big happened, right? In the organization, not the organizing people, may Allah reward them. Something came last minute, we wanted to do it, did everything to make it happen. The last minute they called me and said, it probably is not going to happen. The person who was helping us, very sincere woman, called me frantically crying. And she was one of our students in Jannah Institute. And I kept saying, قدر الله ما شاء فعل. What did we study in Tazkiyah? We're not in control. We did everything. And Allah didn't want it to happen. End of the story. If you are always, again, back to the qalb al-salim, I'm not saying I'm a qalb al-salim, may Allah give me 1% of it. But I'm saying is when you connect everything with Allah, you come out of your control, you're not going to get angry. When I know, when I think everyone is better than me, like Sayyidina Umar always used to say, كل الناس أفقه منك يا عمر. All the people are way more knowledgeable than you, then I don't get upset when someone doesn't listen to me. I get sad when my children, I see them not on the way that pleases Allah. Yes, because I'm a human and I want to see them in Jannah. I get angry when I see someone disobeying Allah, because that's the only time when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam got angry. Not because they didn't listen to me or because the government didn't do what I want to do. Make dua. Only Allah will change people. Fast a lot. That's practical example. Practical mean. Fast a lot. Fasting, control your nafs. Anger comes from the nafs. Shaitan operates on the nafs through this door. Fast a lot. And don't give your nafs everything it wants. And a lot of dhikr, especially salah al-nabi and istighfar. Not only when I'm upset, it's my daily routine. A lot of dhikr. And you will be calm. Internally calm, let alone externally. And may Allah make it easy.
Ameen. SubhanAllah, JazakAllah khair for that answer, inshallah. That's helped many of us, inshallah. Now, this next question, I just want to preface that by, you know, making dua for the sister who has put this question forward, because I can only appreciate the pain in which this question has come from. So I want to just start that by saying, you know, may Allah please grant you ease and sakina in your heart, and your troubled heart, the pain that you're in. May Allah ease your grief and suffering. Ameen. She says, how do you control your inner emotions and feelings when you have lost something and people around you are being blessed with what you have lost? In this instance, pregnancy loss with 3 miscarriages. How do you overcome these feelings to make your heart clean?
Very nice question. It doesn't apply to miscarriages. Or may Allah protect your children. Loss of a loved ones. A child especially is one of the hardest ones. Or loss of material thing. You build your house, spend all your life collecting money, and then you lost the house for whatever the reason. You loved your husband, and he decided to leave you. These are painful instances. It's real. It doesn't mean when you feel sad that you are not qalbu salim. No. No, we're human. Because when Rasul ﷺ, his son died and he was crying, the Sahaba looked at him. You, Ya Rasulullah, when he was carrying Sayyidina Ibrahim. And the famous statement probably most of you are aware of, الْعَيْنُ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبُ يَحْزَنْ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. The eyes shed tears, the heart is sad, but we don't say anything but what pleases Allah. So the first thing I want to say to everybody, because I don't want you to feel guilty because you feel sad. No, it's normal emotions. Now the issue is, how do I act upon the feeling? That's where the difference comes in. Now this may sound a little bit reality check. If I look at everybody else and I say, why me? Why do they have 3 pregnancies I didn't? Literally what I'm saying, are you ready for what I'm going to say? You're saying Allah is not fair. Because pregnancy is not from me. Children is not from me. Right? لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما إنه عليم قدير. End of Surah Ash-Shura. Allah said the following. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belong the sovereignty of this earth and the heavens. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He creates whatever he wants and wills and like. Now, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Whom he wills, give them only girls. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. And whom he wills, gives only boys. And then, أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Or he gives them mixed pairs, boys and girls. And the last one, وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. And he makes who he wills childless, عقيم. Like Sayyidina Zakaria till the end of his life. And then he ends it up, this verse, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. He's knowledgeable, he knows your feelings, he knows what you're going through, and he knows why he did not let this pregnancy continue. Qadir, capable. capable of making the fourth pregnancy continue. What you need to do, let your emotions go, meaning feel it. Of course you're going to feel sad, but as I am in my sujood, crying, sobbing, because I lost this third pregnancy, I'm going to say to him, لا اعتراض على حكمك يا الله. I am not objecting your decision or your ruling, but it's very painful, Ya Rabbi. You need to acknowledge it. It's very painful. You're going to make it easy on me, and I beg you to give me a child. Like you gave Sayyidina Zakaria and like you gave Sayyidina Ibrahim, then you're absolutely fine. And I'm not going to look at anybody, because that child that you are looking at, your friend she has, that child could be the reason why this mother or father will not end up in Jannah. True or false? You all know Surah Al-Kahf. Yes? Why did Allah, the maid, Sayyidina Al-Khidr, kill that boy? Kill. Allah said it in the explanation. He was kafir. He will become a kafir and he will give his parents very hard time. Allah said, Sayyidina Al-Khidr, kill him. Learn about Allah. Submit to His will. And you will navigate all the challenges in this life in a complete different perspective. Again, doesn't mean you're not going to feel sad. Doesn't mean you're not going to feel down. Does not mean you're not going to cry. On the contrary, if you don't cry, I'm worried. Because that's not the norm. But I am going to submit to Him. And you're going to beg Him to teach you to have to submit. And don't look at anybody else. Because the Sahaba said to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, there is rich people who can donate and we don't have money. And Allah really loves spending for His sake. Competition in akhirah, not in dunya. He said, you know what? You can do better than what they do. It's a very beautiful hadith. And he said, just keep remembrance of Allah. Right. They came back and said, Ya Rasulullah, they heard what you said. And now they are doing also dhikr. What are we going to do? He said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the blessings of Allah. He gives it to whom He wills. And for those of you who don't have children, I say this to all my patients. Are you better than Sayyida Fatima, Sayyida Aisha? Are you better than Sayyida Aisha? No one can claim yes. She didn't have children. Although she was the youngest, although he loved her most, we all know that. Allah has a reason. Learn to accept the decree of Allah. Enough, He's Alimun Hakim. He knows my feelings and He knows what I want. But He's wise. And this way how you navigate your feelings and make this test a gift. On the day of judgment, and I'm not going to say you wish you had 10 miscarriages, but this is a very famous concept. On the day of judgment, those who were tested in this life and they acted with patience the way pleases Allah, when they see what Allah gave them on day of judgment, they wish they were, their skins, actually it's a hadith of Rasulullah, their skins were actually bitten by nail clips. May Allah make it easy for you. Keep trying, by the way. Now I'm speaking as a physician. Keep trying. I've seen 9 miscarriages. 45-year-old. And then I delivered Aisha. Never give up.
SubhanAllah. Absolutely amazing. MashaAllah. JazakAllah for that response. MashaAllah. And also for the people who are submitting these questions, again, these are very brave questions to put forward. So JazakAllah. And it's amazing that we have these QR codes, which allows them to come through anonymously, alhamdulillah. So I think that's definitely a tick box for technology and advancement, alhamdulillah. Now we're going to go to the next question, which is, if people are taking advantage of you or abusing you, how do you defend yourself in a way that is pleasing to Allah?
Welcome to this world. Of course the people will take advantage of you. My answer to myself before everybody, I remember actually I was in England when I was training, and he's not a supervisor, the person who trains you calls me and do this, and I don't want to say names because I know he's still with us, and do this, and every time I said, okay, yes, and one day, and he's a Jewish man, very young, very beautiful soul, and I remember very well, and he said, Haifa, learn to say no, people will take advantage of you. And was that right? Absolutely. So it's fact. Please forgive me, we take advantage of Allah. Don't we? We disobey Him, clearly, and then we have the audacity to raise our hand and say, Ya Allah, give me. Isn't that taking advantage? Because I know He's a giver. I know He's all-forgiving. True or false? But Allah is forgiving. What do I do? Keep going. You want to go to Jannah. What did I say in the first session? I don't care what they think of me. I'm doing it for Allah. I'm doing the right thing. What pleases Allah. I don't want anything. Like what Allah described the people in Surah Al-Insan, the human. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى خُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. They were telling people who they were feeding. And they loved the food, but they gave it to them. It says, we are feeding you for the sake of Allah. We don't want anything from you. We are afraid from a day that is going to be the human being, or the day will be really gloomy. Let them take advantage of you. And one day they will know your value. And I'm saying this from experience. They know who you are. And if for whatever the reason you decide to move away from those who are taking advantage of you, they will cry because they lost you. Wallahi. Just don't put them in front of you. Keep seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do it for Allah. And make a dua, Ya Rabbi. Let them, if they are really taking advantage of me, remove them from my life. Doesn't mean you're telling Allah to let them die. Remove them. Let our path be separate. But don't stop doing good deeds. Don't. You are the loser. They will not lose. I will lose. You know, I tell everyone, anything that will take me to Jannah, I'll fight you with the swords. Anything about this dunya, take it. I don't care. Because Allah will give me better. This is the mentality you have to live in this life. Don't live in the materialistic mentality. Unfortunately, it's surrounding us.
SubhanAllah. And as you were saying that, you know, there's a talk that you gave recently, actually, Dr. Haifa, and you made a really good point, and I loved it so much. It stuck with me, where you said, if people are doing things and saying things bad to you, etc., let them do it because they're giving you their hasanats.
Exactly.
And she's like, you're giving me my Ramadan and your Qiyam, etc. So just imagine, like, you're literally banking up all of their good deeds.
Their tahajjud, they're memorizing the Quran. Okay, great, give it to me. With pleasure, actually.
Amazing, mashallah. So well put in. You can visualize that, inshallah. Next question, because I know we're short on time, so I want to get through the questions as well. How do I make the tahajjud part of my routine? It's very difficult for me to wake up for Fajr on time. How do I change that?
So practical and real question. Question for this person, I don't know who is it. If you have a plane at 5 a.m., will you miss it? Will you miss it? I want to hear it. No, you will not. Believe me, you will not sleep. And there's three alarms, and one of them is the furthest. Why? Because the trip, please forgive me. The trip is more important than standing in front of Allah. Because I don't know who is He. ما قدر الله حق قدره. Allah said it in the Quran. They did not give Allah His due right. The real value, my creator, my sustainer, the one who gave me everything. I don't. That's general. Second, again, I don't know who's the answer, the questioner, but this is a very common question. What did you do before you go to bed? You disobeyed Allah. You know what I say to myself? Why does He want me standing in front of Him and I just disobeyed Him? Somebody upset you. Do you want to see them? Do you want to see them? Or you say, I don't want to see your face now. Don't we say that? Anybody around you in your life. Why does Allah want to see me standing in His, in asking Him in Fajr, and I just disobeyed Him from A to Z? So number one, learn again. Learn about Allah. And one day, inshallah, maybe in the next tour, I'm going to make it all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we really don't know Allah. And I'm not saying we don't know we are kuffar, a'udhu billah, but we don't really know who's He. We say it, Ya Allah, please, but we don't know what are we saying. So that's number one. Number two, move disobedience. Make the last thing you do before you go to bed something pleasing to Allah. Beg Him to make you up. Beg Him, learn to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, practicality. If you're going to sleep at 12, good luck if you're going to wake up at 2 or 3. It's very difficult. You have to make it easy for you, in general, to obey Allah, and make it very difficult to disobey Allah. Any disobedience of Allah, make it harder. Don't buy what makes you disobey Allah. And alarms. Don't sleep in a very comfortable environment, meaning the room temperature exactly what you want, and it's all dark, you're not going to get up. But in general, if it is after midnight, sleep and the light is on, because getting up is much easier. Or don't sleep, continue. Do your tahajjud to your fajr and then sleep. But the most important from everything I said is actually is the disobedience to Allah. I had someone who I know and very dear to me, used to go to fajr every day in the masjid, and suddenly disappeared. And they asked me, and I said, I'm going to ask a question. It's going to be tough. Up to you if you want to answer me. And they said, what? I said, what did you do that Allah don't want to see you in the first row of the masjid? There was no answer. May Allah make it easy for all of us.
Amen. Next question, again, because of time, we're going to try and power through these, inshallah. How do we balance speaking less with people in order to purify our hearts?
80% of what we say is not beneficial. Not my words. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Allah said this in Surah An-Nisa. There is no goodness. لا. لا is نافية, meaning it's not. Majority of what they say is not beneficial. SubhanAllah. Except the three things. Look at these three things, see what you are saying, and make the balance. Simple. Illa, what is it, Ya Rabbi? What should I say? Illa man amara bi sadaqatin. What you are saying will make people do an act of charity, not meaning money only. Act of charity. Illa man amara bi sadaqatin aw ma'aruf. Good thing. My word is going to make you a better person. When you said this to me, changed me, made me think. Right? Or get people relationship better. أو إصلاح بين الناس. You rectify a relationship between human beings. Everything else is useless. Now you judge how much we talk. You judge. And the easiest way, practically, to make you speak less, SubhanAllah, I just said it this recently, don't call people, text them, except your parents and your blood relationship. But the others, no need to phone, as you call it. There we say call it. Here you say phone them. Don't phone them. Text. Because by the time you phone me, how is everything? And then I start telling you my life story. And you're going to say, oh, really? Oh, let me tell you what happened to me. And now? So call less. Interact with people less. This will really cut down on. And which we find it, I know time is off. But this is very important. Learn to love yourself and sit down with yourself alone. A-L-O-N-E. Alone meaning no phone. Learn to be in peace with you. Once you stay alone, and I'm not saying you're depressed to what happened to you. No. 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. You're going to learn to talk to you and calm yourself. And the more you do that, you will feel need for people is much less. Of course, the older you get, this becomes much easier. Much, much easier. But train yourself from now. And may Allah make it easy, Ya Rabbi Ameen.
Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah, that is the end of Q&A. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you so much, Dr. Haifa,
Absolutely.
For taking the time. MashaAllah. Honestly, I think we need to come bring you back again just
for questions.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah. There's so many questions. But we hope, inshallah, that you've all benefited from the questions being answered, more importantly, from the lecture earlier on as well. I hope that you are capturing it on your notepads and with your pens. Make sure that you go back and you review, because like we said before, this is a lifelong journey now. We've started the quest, but it will continue for the rest of your life, inshallah.
How many of you are coming tomorrow to London? You and me, of course.
Inshallah.
Try to make it, because we're going to cover something else. It's the same title, but in every place I'm covering differently. So hopefully I can see you. I was told it's 1.5 hours in the train. Yeah.
Yes, about 1.5 hours on the train. Yeah.
Inshallah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Inshallah. And it's also an afternoon event, so you'll still be able to get home in time as well. It's on the weekend, so you can get back in time for the school runs as well, inshallah. Just wanted to remind everyone, there is going to be a meet and greet after this in Hall 3. However, it's only going to be for the people who have purchased a book. So if you want to purchase your book, please go out into the main foyer where you came in from, purchase your book, and then inshallah we'll go and speak to Dr. Haifa in person. You can have a little bit of salam dua, inshallah. But for now, inshallah, jazakallah khairan, thank you so much, and we hope that you all get home safely. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.